live from Radio Row.
Welcome to The Drive.
Dan Quinn in year two has taken Atlanta to the Super Bowl.
This is The Drive with Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
Live from Radio Row
at Super Bowl 51, Houston, Texas.
The New England Patriots will play one more game.
Extra motivation for you this year.
This is my motivation right here. All these fellas right here.
Presented by Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered.
You know I'm getting the ball. They know I'm getting the ball tonight, too.
And Super Bowl 51. Sports 1140 KHCK.
Oh, I'm getting the ball. Oh, I'm going to get the ball tonight.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Super Bowl 51, the George R. Brown Convention Center, Houston, Texas.
Ain't too much talking to be going on tonight. All about hitting.
The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
7:02, time to save money at the pump. Text my name, Dave, D-A-V-E, whatever those numbers may be. Text him to 83835. And you'll save a quarter a gallon on your second fill-up at all participating Shell stations. Welcome in, Dave, Katie, and Nate. Super Bowl Radio Row, Houston, yeah. Texas, brought to you by our good friends at Jiffy Lube. Big show planned for you. Big week planned for you as well. Also, a game tonight will be at the Rockets-Kings game this evening, as a matter of fact. We'll bring you all the fun from that tomorrow as well. Yes, you will be, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, but...
It's in Texas, but it's a little north of us. Dallas, Texas, that is. And that's where the Cleveland Cavaliers played the Dallas Mavericks yesterday. LeBron James was... very upset because
he's been having a rough go of it lately.
They lost 104-97 to Dallas. That's a big deal. And after the game, LeBron reacted, I think, and maybe more of it, he just finally, as you said, had enough to Charles Barkley's comments earlier in the week, basically saying that, you know, he's been on LeBron James, Charles Barkley has, saying that when LeBron said they need to fortify the roster, it was inappropriate, whiny, all of the above. The Cavs had given him everything they wanted, highest payroll in NBA history. They brought in Korver. They re-signed J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert.
They maxed out Tristan Thompson, which had everything to do with LeBron.
Yeah.
He said, does he want all the good players? He don't want to compete. He's an amazing player. They're the defending champs. Said he'll never be in the top five status. And he also said it was a punk move for him to leave the Cavs to take up with the Miami Heat. So there's a long long history there.
So Chuck was being Chuck.
Long history, yeah. So LeBron said...
like, dude, okay, you finish this story, but...
Sure. LeBron said he's a hater. What makes what he says credible? Because he's on television. He went on to say, I'm not going to let him disrespect my legacy like this.
No, my legacy.
I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Las Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up to All-Star Weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done for my entire career is represent the NBA the proper way. 14 years, never got in trouble, respected the game. You can print that. Go watch the 93 finals, LeBron continued, when John Paxson hit that shot. Barkley and Jordan were laughing and joking with each other during one of the games while somebody shooting a free throw in the finals, but nobody was friends back then. He then brought up Phil Jackson, of all things, and said, I went to go see Carmelo Anthony at the Garden 2 years ago when we were in New York. They played Portland. I went up to a suite at halftime, and Phil Jackson didn't say a single word to me. He was then talking about the whole posse situation. He then finished up with Barkley saying, I know he wanted to retire a long time ago, but he can't. He's stuck up on that stage every single week. And if this makes him want to talk to me, the schedule's out there. He knows every road arena I'll be in. Don't just come up to me at All-Star break, shake my hand, and smile.
That's marvelous.
My goodness.
I mean, let's be honest, dude. Charles Barkley wishes he was LeBron James. And I don't care. Listen, Chuck's a Hall of Famer.
But is he wrong in what he's saying?
Who, Chuck?
Is Chuck wrong in what he's saying about...
What are you talking... Like, it's absurd that LeBron James even has to address something like this from Charles Barkley.
But I'm sorry. I don't care who it's coming from. Is he wrong in saying that LeBron needs to... I have a major issue with the fact that LeBron has so much control over that team. He was trolling his own general manager last week between he, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving. They make $70 million. That doesn't even factor in the max deal that Tristan Thompson. The salary cap is $94 million this year. Four players make most of their salary, and he's complaining.
I'll tell you why Charles
about
Barkley's
not
wrong.
Having the people on the roster.
No, Chuck is wrong because he knows that he's lying. He knows damn well that every superstar has that control. He's trying to knock
not
LeBron down a peg.
Is freaking he's, LeBron.
He's just trying to knock him down a peg for whatever reason. I don't know if he's jealous or what it might be, but like, there's no. Yeah.
I'll tell you this, Charles Barkley doesn't care. He doesn't care what anyone says, what anyone thinks. He says whatever comes out of his mouth is exactly what has rolled through his head. And he doesn't care if it rubs anyone the wrong way. I think that LeBron did an excellent job responding. Like, that's pretty freaking amazing.
But
I'm also like, LeBron, you know what? He's not wrong.
I think there's two sides here, as usual. Number one, I get what Charles Barkley is saying. And I get what you're saying, Katie. I mean, here we go. The fact that LeBron is paid a ton of money and they have filled that roster out and he's still bitching at the same time. He understands that he is the best player in the league towards the end of his career and he is massively competitive and all he wants to do is win championships and it's not his money. He sees Golden State going out and getting Kevin Durant in the offseason.
Yeah, but because their superstars are not getting paid $30 million a year
you know what?
He is.
Here's the difference, though. This is LeBron James. He's not just a once-in-a-lifetime player. He is a once-in-forever player. These guys don't come around. This isn't DeMarcus Cousins bitching and moaning about the press or something like that. This is LeBron freaking James. You do whatever the hell he wants.
Dude.
That's it. End of story.
I don't care what you're saying. If he wants to win that bad, and I'm being every superstar at every level has done it. You give up your $30 million paycheck, take a pay cut because you just signed a $1 billion deal with Nike.
I don't disagree with that.
If you are that concerned.
When I understand the point when I see Tim Duncan taking $5 million a year, and granted, Tim Duncan's not LeBron James, then you can step back. You can step back and you can give your – it's – Dan Gilbert is guilty of a lot of things. Spending money on payroll is not one of them.
They have the highest payroll in the league.
Yes, they do. They have the highest payroll in NBA history.
That's where it gets confusing. Like, what? So what else are you going to do?
Now,
paying four players. And he's complaining about not replacing Matthew Dellavedova, who is, by the way, Nate's favorite player ever. He didn't even play last year hardly in the playoffs. He's complaining about just stuff that it's like, shut up.
I think that you can disagree with the basis of some of what Charles is saying without completely slamming LeBron. I love what LeBron said. I love the fact that he stood up. And I love LeBron James, period, end of statement. I think it's one of the best things that ever happened to basketball. When you look at, forget his talent. We don't need to talk about his talent. He's obviously one of the most talented basketball players of all time. But when you look at the fact that this guy did come in here as not only the most heralded high school player, the most heralded prospect in NBA history, a guy who was on magazine covers when he was in eighth grade, the way he handled it, the fact that he had
nationally televised high school basketball games
for him, and he comes in and he surrounds himself with, as Phil Jackson says, his posse. Which is made up of a guy like Rich Paul, who is now one of the biggest power brokers. I'm in love with the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's a guy at the Atlanta airport who was selling records or jerseys out of the trunk of his car, and LeBron runs into him and admires his hustle and brings him into the fray. And now Rich Paul again. Rich
represents
Paul.
so many NBA players.
It's a great story. Maverick Carter, the rest of his story. He took his friends.
His whole group, man.
His whole group rose up together, and they're all phenomenal. His charitable work. Even the decision, that stupid-ass decision that he made with Jim Gray and the people forget how much money that raised the Boys and Girls
Club.
That.
Just write a damn check.
I understand.
Thank you, Nate.
I totally get it. But when you look at the way the man has carried himself, when you look at the example that he has set, when you look at how he has spoken, and when you look at his accomplishments,
I see what you're saying.
I love him. I love him.
Yeah. And now he's got his signature moment, swatting Andre Iguodala, which is still the coolest play in NBA history.
Yeah. We can talk about how great he is because, I mean, all day long, but we're just regurgitating what everybody already knows. But for me, I just from this point of view, you guys, it would be like you going into our boss every day and being like, "We need better people on air with me.
Well,
we need
maybe
better,
if he was Jim Rome.
We need better people."
I mean,
on,
right?
Seriously, though, you guys, this is what he's doing. He has a roster that has been assembled and put around him, which, by the way, most teams in the league would want to have. And he is going in there and bitching and complaining about who's around him. They've spent more money than anyone in history. And how do you think it makes the guys that are supposed to play around this superstar, who is one of the best leaders of all time, that is going out publicly talking crap about the guys he's playing with, saying they're not good enough?
They feel like they got to work harder.
You know, I'm tired. You know, this whole freaking cupcake mentality, dude.
That is not a cupcake mentality.
Yes, Michael Jordan used to throw his guys to the ground, punch them, and cuss them out on the reg. And he is the greatest player, teammate, leader ever. Whatever LeBron James has or hasn't said or done with his teammates is a freaking trip to the massage parlor. And yeah, that massage parlor compared to what Michael Jordan used to do with his teammates. But he's a golden god. Hey, LeBron James is competitive and he wants to win championships.
I mean, listen, dude, does it take some feelings hurting to get the job done sometimes? Maybe, but I guarantee you every guy in that locker room is like, dude, we got to step it up.
I understand where you guys are coming from, and I know we got a break. And this is what everyone's going to say because I'm the woman saying it. I think it's complete crap. I think it's complete crap because I personally do not believe that is a good teammate.
No, that's you. Reality says that between LeBron
James.
The
only one that's actually ever played on a team here.
Right, but how many rings did you win? Because LeBron James and Michael Jordan are on line three, and they've got a whole giant, like, pair of handfuls. And they're saying, Katie, what we did worked. I'm not saying it's them.
I played with people that went on to win a title
multiple
times, and they weren't out.
We'll continue this at 7:30. Four down territory in 3 minutes on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Wow.
Oh, hey, we're back. Where's Dave? Hey, it's The Drive. We're here on Radio Row. It's Nate and Katie, and Dave's making his way over here. There's not even any music playing, Dave. We're doing it, though. It's good. We're going to have interviews. And there's the big fella. Hey,
hi.
Guy.
No music?
Well, I mean, I think we missed it.
Did we miss the Four Down Territory music?
I don't – oh, it's
– there it is.
It's been playing for about 5 minutes, but that's all right. I'm just
really
kidding. It hasn't been 5 minutes. But yeah. John Lynch vows to earn the trust of the skeptics. Are you softening at all on him?
A little bit. And no reason other than having some time after the whiplash of, oh, my God, what the hell, John Lynch, 6 years. Give Jed York credit for this, I guess.
No.
He went somewhere and he made a decision. And nothing is going to look good until we have time to see results. Doesn't matter what he did. It's not going to look great. He's gone out, and he has gone youth. He has gone John Lynch, and he has gone Kyle Shanahan.
Youths.
And he has them strapped together for 6 years, we believe, with what Kyle's going to sign. John Lynch is a smart guy. I totally get that. That doesn't mean he's got a degree in football, so it remains to be seen. But now I'm at the point where I'm just sitting back and going to watch now.
I don't think that it doesn't earn any respect or soften me to the idea because he hasn't done anything yet. I don't expect him to be saying anything other than I'm gonna, you know, prove all the skeptics wrong. He's what, been on the job 2-3 days now? What is it, even that? Mm-hmm. But I think Matt Millen, who was the GM for Detroit, that literally came up the exact same way that he did. He had some great advice to him and said, "Look, man, you don't even know what you don't know yet. Like, good luck to you, but this is the guy that was with Detroit for 7 years and was the GM behind the only 0-16 record in NFL history.
And that was like their second worst season.
Yeah, so if it goes anyway like that, it's doom and gloom. I'm not upset with John Lynch. I'm upset with Jed York at this point, and I'm not going to soften on it until they prove that they can put together a semi-decent roster and they win more than two games next year.
Yeah, I mean, now it's kind of over. Like, so I guess out of necessity, you have to soften a little bit. There's one positive that I would take out of it is that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch get along, and that was the point. That's how John Lynch got the job, and Jed York wants to make sure that those guys are tied at the hip, and that's what it required to get Kyle Shanahan in the door. I'm okay with it. Let's see what happens, but again, this team is in such a bad spot right now. I'm not convinced that a guy with no experience is the dude to lead that rebuild, but we'll see.
Second down.
The brotherhood thing is very, very big. You know, we preach that every single day. And, you know, we got guys that we go out and fight for every single day. It starts with us. It starts with our coaches and our preparation, how we go about it. And, you know, it shows on the field how much passion we have for one of each other. And we just go out and fight for each other every single day.
Yeah. Atlanta Falcons running back Devontae Freeman saying that they preach brotherhood with the Falcons, but his agent says he should get paid like a, quote, elite running back. Bad move to bring this up right now.
Is it a bad move to bring it up right now? No, the guy is about to play in a Super Bowl. He scored 27 touchdowns this season. He's just freaking amazing. And that's having another great running back beside him, by the way. Let's just say he's putting up those numbers when it's a two-headed snake. So I think now is the perfect time to be bringing this up because this guy deserves to get paid.
Yeah, business-wise, great move by the agent. But if I'm Devontae Freeman, I'm probably going to him being like, seriously, man, can we just get through the game maybe? It's a weird time to bring it up if you're one of the guys in that locker room or if you're Devontae Freeman. But that's the agent's job, and there's really not a better time.
Devontae Freeman honk here. He's a Florida State kid. I'm a huge fan of his. I really am. But come on, man. This might as well be called Distraction Week instead of Super Bowl Week. There's all kinds of garbage going around. You're really going to choose now? Now is when you're bringing up your contract?
Yeah, because when they go and they lose to the Patriots, that's a bad time to do it.
I understand that prospect. Jesus, Devontae.
They haven't even won yet, and they've already got the disease of Moore.
Exactly. Maybe relax. Also figure out, if you're not too careful, there's a guy named Tevin Coleman that's splitting reps with you pretty much the entire year. Now, he's a dominant back, but Tevin Coleman doesn't suck at all. They make one really good back together. But separately, no, he's not an elite running back, not at least right now. He needs to shut his mouth and play football. Third down.
Guys, the NFL Players Association says they want to soften the penalties for marijuana use. Do they have the intelligence to beat the NFL on this?
If you're asking if the NFL Players Union is strong enough to get anything done that would make sense, the answer is no. But this just seems to be an inevitability with, you know, you got teams and states where it's legal now. And as much as we know that the NFL isn't a fan of, like, science and things like that, I think the NFL could do themselves a lot of favors PR-wise if they start to embrace this and maybe do some research into effects that it has on, I don't know, dealing with post-concussion syndrome, all of that type of stuff. There's so much out there when it comes to brain injuries and research that needs to be done on medical marijuana. Hey, NFL, put your money to it, man, and make something good happen.
I think there's plenty of reasons why players should be able to use marijuana during the season. We talked about those things at length. What I don't think is that the NFL Players Association has really much intelligence at all in its collective upper level. This is the worst players union. I'm sitting in the middle of Radio Row, and I'm saying this is the worst players union of all the major sports, and it's not freaking close. The NFL players are consistently being done a disservice by having this band of yahoos, quote-unquote, leading them. So they've got a phenomenal case. It's real simple. If you're going to use hardcore drugs to get rid of pain, you should probably be able to smoke weed. That's a great open-and-shut case.
Yeah.
They won't get it done.
Well, the NFL did kind of lessen their levels, their tolerance levels for marijuana, like, in 2014. But I think, like, the Players Association is actually doing some stuff. They've formed a committee, you guys. They formed
a committee
that is researching the benefits of marijuana to pain management. And I don't know, lots of medical people have already figured out the benefits to this, right? But they've formed a committee, so we'll figure that out by 2022, probably, that they'll figure out that marijuana is more beneficial for players to be using than, I don't know, the Toradol they're shooting them up with in the locker rooms.
But you know what they're going to find out is we're never going to hear that information, because they'll find out that concussions are still bad and they'll make sure that everything is.
But they'll get behind them saying that they totally followed concussion protocol.
Right.
Yeah.
Fourth down.
Carr in the gun. Three receivers bunched left to Amari Cooper. Singled up right on Bradbury. Derek, a low snap, catches it. Cox throws for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Raiders! Clyde Wolford!
Oakland Raiders Radio Network, that's Greg Papa. With Adelson pulling out of the Raiders deal to move the team to Las Vegas, Mark Davis will now try and take on all of the $1.2 billion of the Vegas stadium debt himself. Can he possibly pull this off?
He possibly can. That's a lot of debt, man. That is a lot of debt to go to Vegas, which is a much smaller market than Oakland, both metro and TV-wise. Do I think he can pull it off? Yeah. I don't know if it's the best business decision, and we never really knew what Sheldon Adelson wanted in return for his $750 million. I will say this. If Goldman Sachs steps up and Mark Davis still wants to do this, I think the deal can happen. And I'm also not entirely convinced that Sheldon Adelson's out of the picture either. I'm really not completely convinced that's the case.
Yeah, I think he can afford it and he can manage it because, you guys, he does drive a Ford Aerostar minivan. So, I mean, he's cutting costs somewhere.
Great point.
And I'll bet he doesn't tip well at P.F. Chang's either.
We'll take a break when we return at 7:32. We got a lot of stuff to get to in this next segment as we're down at Radio Row. Super Bowl Lee, if you read the Roman numerals, 51 Lee? In Houston. I know Mark Schlereth will join us in the next hour, 8:15 to be exact. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit about John Lynch, some of the things he said yesterday, and does he compare favorably or unfavorably, we'll see, to another ex-player with no experience turned GM and regular guest of this program, as a matter of fact. That's in 3 minutes on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, it's funny, we're down at Radio Row, thanks to Jiffy Lube, Houston, Texas. But we're going to bring in a football player on the phone, because that's just the way it's working all week long.
All right.
You know him, I'm sure, most of you listening, from your San Francisco 49ers, but he has been playing for the Tennessee Titans now for going on 5 seasons. He is Delaney Walker. Delaney, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for getting up this early. How are you?
I'm good, and it is early, yes.
I'm sure you love Houston, or excuse me, I'm sure you love Tennessee. We're in Houston. I know you've acclimated there, but I gotta imagine you being a Pomona guy originally. You miss California a little bit during the winter.
I do miss California during the winter. Ice storms and whatever else they have going on in Nashville you got to get out of there sometimes. But I love playing for Nashville. You know, the people are nice, and if you like country music, that's the place to be.
So does that mean that you do, or maybe are warming up to country music a little bit?
I mean, living in Nashville, you're going to have to like country music, so it grown on me. You know, I like it now.
Okay, do you have, like, a favorite? Is there a band or a singer that you like in particular?
Alison Krauss.
Oh, wow. That's a throwback.
Put him on the spot, too.
And he
came through.
He pulled out, like, Alison Krauss. Like, that is old school.
I love Alison
Nice.
Krauss.
She's phenomenal.
Hey, okay.
You're going
to. Yeah, Nate, take over.
I know. Now I get to. Hey, let's talk football. Hey, Delaney, when you were with the 49ers, I mean, I thought you were one of the they did a great job of utilizing you, but I thought you were one of the most criminally underrated players on that group that was successful. And it was tough when you left to go to Tennessee, and I get it, man. You got to do your thing. But I'm wondering, you hear all this stuff about Jim Harbaugh, whether or not he's abrasive and he can only stay in a place for 3-4 years, whatever it might be. What was your experience like with him as a coach?
You know what, man? I love having him as my coach. I thought he was probably one of the best coaches I had when I've been in the NFL. And he turned the program around. Within 1 year, we was in the NFC Championship game, and I really don't think that he's the type of coach that want to move around. But if you don't give him the power that he needs to run a team, I feel like, you know, he's gonna leave. Jim Harbaugh wants to have all the power to run a team, and I think it shows when he has the power that you do well.
Delanie Walker joining us on KHDK. We are here, Houston, Super Bowl week. How insane is Super Bowl week from a player's perspective? And really, is it hard to stay focused on the task at hand?
It's so hard. You know, it's so much going on where you have to practice. Then you got to be at the media day. Then you got to watch film on your own. You're trying to fit all of that in and still prepare. You got all your family there that want to see you, fans everywhere. You got to make sure you got to stay out of trouble. You don't want to do anything that's going to keep you from playing in the game. You got to watch what you say in the media. You got to watch what you put on Instagram. So it's draining. It's very draining. It's very stressful, but it is a great opportunity. That's why we play this game, to be in the Super Bowl. So, you know, for the guys that's in it, take advantage of this opportunity.
Delanie, yesterday we kind of tossed back and forth the idea of, like, is it a good or a bad thing that you've got 2 weeks in between as you're prepping for the Super Bowl? And obviously it's a good thing in the sense that, you know, you kind of get a chance to get a little bit healthier. But because of the media attention and all of this stuff going on, as a player, would you rather just have a one-week turnaround and get right into it, or is the 2 weeks worth it?
I think the 2 weeks is worth it on the stand of, you know, taking care of making sure our body is healthy so we can go out there and put on a great performance for the fans and everyone else that's watching the Super Bowl. But it can be bad as well, like you said, because of the media outlet that, you know, they're looking for anything that they can make a story out of. So, you know, it goes both ways. It can be good and bad. Again, you're a professional athlete, so handle yourself like a professional athlete.
Delanie Walker's with us on KHTK. Okay, so you got that 2 weeks, but you got even more than that. Going back, there was that huge break in the middle of the game because the lights went out. And I don't know that I've ever had a chance to talk to any of you guys that were on that team. What did you do? What was the thought process? What was going on when the lights were out and you're just waiting around for the Super Bowl to continue?
Be truthful, we thought it was a terrorist attack.
Oh, my God.
You know, oh, my goodness.
It sounded like something exploded a little bit, and then all the lights shut off. So, you know, it got scary at that point. And then when they told us a transformer had exploded or something like that, we just thought it was weird because it's the Super Bowl, and we're pretty sure something like that shouldn't happen when they like that. But our mindset was like, oh, this giving us an opportunity to get back. You know, that's going to slow them down because they were kicking our butt until that happened.
Delanie Walker joining us on KHTK. What clicked? I mean, you're talking about it, but it's a tale of two halves in that Super Bowl. And I don't know if Coach Harbaugh, like, mainlined you guys all whole milk, or what the difference was. But when you look back at that, and I'm sure you're accomplished enough, you don't have a ton of regrets, but you kind of wish whatever you had in the second half you had in the first half, I guess, is what I'm trying to ask.
Most definitely. You know, and that whole season, we always played terribly in the first half and always played good in the second half. And I don't know what it was, and it just carried over to the Super Bowl. And, you know, we wasn't worried. When we went into halftime, we really wasn't worried. We, like, this is the type of team we are. We always come back in the second half, so show everybody what they know, what they expect. And we went out there and we came back in the second half. And, you know, when we got down there, I think on the 8-yard line, I'm not too sure. But I think we should have ran the ball more. We ran the ball to get down there, and then when we got down there, we tried to throw it 4 times. And I think that's what hurt us. Because we didn't give the ball to Frank Gore and let him do what he do best, and that's run the ball.
Yeah, that was a little bit frustrating as a fan. But I want to ask you about Colin a little bit, because he's kind of had some ups and downs, obviously, and then there was a whole bunch of stuff that went on this year, whether, you know, him taking the political stances and actually having a pretty good year under Chip Kelly. What are your thoughts on kind of how he's progressed since Jim Harbaugh left and he's kind of gone through a rough patch in his career?
You know, and I said this earlier, I think, you know, just having different coaches Jim Harbaugh coached him a little differently, gave him the opportunity, you know, to run the ball with that style of offense. And then when you get offense where they want him to sit in the pocket, and he didn't do that in college, and Jim Harbaugh knew that and try to, you know, predicate to what he was good at. And then you got other coaches like, this is what you're going to do. I've been running the system all my life. You're going to sit in the pocket and try to throw the ball. If that's not what he does, you know, of course it's going to be hard. I know he's fighting a shoulder injury. And then what he had going on with the protest, you know, that's a lot on your plate. But, you know, since all that is over with, hopefully behind him, I think if, you know, he gets put in the right system and the right opportunity, that, you know, he's going to be a good quarterback.
Delanie Walker joining us this morning on The Drive. I want to ask you a little bit about what's going on with your former team. They've made the decision after a two-win season, obviously got rid of another coach, got rid of Trent Baalke, just hired John Lynch as their new general manager. From a player perspective, how prepared do you think players are, former players going into a front office that haven't kind of gone through the ranks of scouting and all of that? How much football experience do you think is going to transfer over to front office decisions?
You know what? I think John Lynch is a Hall of Famer, going to be a Hall of Famer. Played the game very well, very smart. He was the quarterback of the defense. So I think the transition of him being a GM, I think he gonna understand players and know what type of player they might need for the team and who can help them out. But I really can't say, you know, I don't know John Lynch like that. I don't know what his mindset is, but I'm pretty sure the carryover of playing at a high level and being a great athlete in this league should help him out on a transition of being a GM. So we'll see. I mean, you signed him to a 6-year deal. So we'll see in the first year how well y'all like him and what he did.
Former 49er, current Tennessee Titan, Delanie Walker joining us as we're down here in Houston. Thanks to Jiffy Lube, Radio Row. And Delanie, we're talking about the Super Bowl, the fun of the week, the big game. And you experiencing that yourself against the Ravens and the experience of the heartbreak of losing to the Ravens. But let's have some perspective here. None of that compares to what you dealt with 24 hours later when you woke up and found out that your aunt and uncle had been killed and had been killed by a drunk driver. And that blow in itself is unimaginable. What we really admire about you is you've taken that devastating loss. And that's part of the reason we're talking to you today. And you've grown that into a pretty cool partnership to try to help make sure that doesn't happen to other people.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I partner up with Tostitos and Mad, because my aunt and uncle, like you said, were killed after I played in the Super Bowl by a drunk driver. And Tostitos got a great program. Basically, if you buy any bag of Tostitos chips, and if you go on the back of them, the last 5 digits of the UPC code, for on Sunday during the game or after the game, 25,000 fans get a discounted Uber ride home. And, you know, we just want to make sure that you have a game plan on getting home safely, just like the guys that's playing this Sunday have a game plan on how they're going to win the game. We want you to have a game plan on how to get home safely.
That's good stuff that you're doing, Delanie, honestly. And we'll make sure to throw that out on our social media as well so people can figure that out and be safe. Have fun, watch the game, and be safe afterwards. One thing I forgot to ask you, if you were Jimmy Graham and you got hit like that, would you have been pissed off too in the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, you know, conduct, like you ain't trying to smack nobody, but you trying to make the tackle, and I can understand why he was upset.
Well, congratulations on your Pro Bowl year. We miss you out here as Niner fans, but you're doing good stuff out there. Take care and good luck next year.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thanks, Delanie.
That's Delanie Walker joining us. And that's a hell of a story, really. It is a hell of a story that he has, just beyond playing and Super Bowl and all that stuff. But you wake up and, your aunt and uncle were killed the night before, 24 hours after you go through the devastation of getting to the ultimate pinnacle in your sport. And then you find out you deal with that. And he was obviously very close to his aunt and uncle. I like that. I love the fact that he's gone on to partner up, you know, forget about the sponsorships and all that. Just there's a lot of people that are going to get a lot of good out of that. And that's one thing people forget about the Super Bowl. There's a lot of drinking that goes on. A lot of drinking. That's fine. That's what it is, man. But
There's so many ways to drive safely these days. There's really not much of an excuse not to.
Nope.
Well, and I think you have like 50 bags of Tostitos, don't you? So we can go around passing them out, and there's free Uber rides for everybody.
Honestly, we should. We can set everybody up. Make sure you check out cage2k.com as well, as we'll be uploading pictures and videos and all kinds of stuff. I do think at some point, I hear the rumor, at some point this week, we're actually going to do some live streaming after the show as well on the old cage2k.com and your social medias.
After the show?
I know. But you know what? Just keep the liquor out of the way of the camera, and you'll be just fine.
That's right. Liquor in the front, poker in the rear.
John Lynch.
It's my kind of party.
Welcome to Houston. John, say that again, Matt George.
You need to read the time.
Okay. I thought I had. I thought that's how we opened hour.
Like, here we are on Tuesday, and we haven't even finished hour two, and we're already in Radio Row delirium mode.
A little bit.
We haven't even had someone come by yet.
7:52, but Mark Schlereth will be here at 8:15. It's on. Save money at the pump, would you? Text Dave to 8-8-3-5. That's 83835 now. Save a quarter a gallon on your second fill up at all participating Shell stations. So we'll finish up this next 3 minutes, and then we'll get back to the bottom of the half hour. Kings tonight against Houston. I know we're part of our job is to, you know, promote the games because they are being played and broadcast on KHDK. but if we're being honest, and let's do that, shall we? Isn't this just, you know, barring the whole, hey, well, they've got to play the game for a reason. But I think Houston is like maybe a top three in the NBA tough matchup for it. They just kill us.
But Houston has not played well in the month of January, though. Yeah. Something's up with them. They've had a really, really road-heavy schedule in January. This actually kicks off a little bit of a homestand for them. But overall, defensively, they're giving up the last, like, this. They had a five-game trip that they're getting back from. They gave up an average of 61 points in the paint. I mean, that is far and above the highest
two
number.
For you, three for me, Christensen.
Yeah,
come
but
on.
I mean, defensively, they're really struggling. James Harden in the month of January, I believe, despite having like 51 or 55 the other night, like 30% from beyond the arc. They're struggling in a serious way.
They've lost 7 of 11.
And it has a lot to do with the road, and they've had injuries. There's all these things. So yes, they're a good team, and I expect them very much to be a contender come, you know, April. And even despite struggling as much, what are they, like third in the standings right now?
35-16.
But this is a team that the Kings can go in and sneak one out. Duh. You know, they really can.
12-point dogs tonight.
Similar to the way they did in Cleveland.
I think Cleveland's a better matchup. I think Houston's seriously.
They don't have anyone to guard DeMarcus Cousins.
They didn't have anybody to guard DeMarcus Cousins the other times they played.
The guards are playing much better. If they can find some semblance of the defense that they had for the first quarter and a half last night, they'll be in better shape.
So you're saying they'll cover 12? This is very important.
I don't
very
know
important.
Your gambling lingo. I
no, I mean, it's
that.
Real easy. Like, are they going to lose by 12 points or less?
Well, DeMarcus Cousins DeMarcus Cousins had 32 points on November 25th, and they lost 117-104. That was
pants over there.
At Golden 1 Center. And then in Houston back on December 14th, 132-98. That was a 34-point victory for Houston. So.
Yeah, like I said, they're not the same team that we saw earlier in the season. So, and that's part of it: injuries and the schedule wearing on you, and
what's
all of
these
things.
What's changed about them since earlier in the season?
They had several injuries that they've been dealing with.
Like, so who's out right now?
I don't know because nothing has come out for today, but I know Eric Gordon has missed with like toe, back, and ankle
everything
issues,
because
injuries.
Eric Gordon's made out
you
of
know,
glass.
Ryan Anderson missed like a week with the flu. Clint Capella broke his leg. Like, and that's really the only guy they have that could defend DeMarcus Cousins. So they've had injuries, and like I said, they've had the most games in the NBA played to this point and the most road games. So they haven't by any stretch had an easy schedule. So that's what's changed. We saw them earlier in the season when they were fresher. When you play an up-tempo pace like Houston does, you need your legs under you for the three-point shot. They have not been shooting the three ball well because they're Wow.
Well, the bad news is the bad news is Eric Gordon played 26 minutes. Clint Capella played 22. James Harden, Beverly. In fact, it looks like they're completely healthy now, coming off their loss to the Pacers, 120-101. So there is nothing like the Sacramento Kings Robitussin for the rest of the league that gives you what ails you. But that being said, to be fair, that's the exact line I use going into the Cleveland Cavaliers game.
Yep.
So, again, I think Houston's a tougher matchup. Remains to be seen, and I hope KD gets to I get to eat crow tomorrow when we beat the I'd be happy to. We'll take a break.
Love crow.
Mark Schlereth at 8:15, and we will update the Raiders debacle, or at least as we said, a bockle.
It's just a bockle.
With Sheldon Adelson pulling out. It is the Drive Super Bowl Radio Row live from Houston, Texas, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.